episode of the Abstract Podcast. This is Mom checking in live with you from the back of your minds. And I'll be solo dolo on this episode because O'Penny is currently on vacation with the family. Hey, O'Penny. Hope you're having fun. Hope Disneyland was awesome. So, you guys, this episode is about criticism. Consider it effective communication part 3, because we've had two other past episodes on communication. And we're going to be covering all the juicy tidbits, providing tips and advice and some clarity on both giving criticism and receiving it, and also put an asterisk on that. But before we really dive into things, we have a few announcements to make, and these are actually pretty big. So, this is actually the last episode of season 2. Yeah, the last one. Moving forward, we'll be releasing weekly episodes, but it will not be more of this. Instead, we'll be making guided meditations, and they'll be posted on our YouTube channel. Only there, not on Spotify, not on Apple Podcasts, no other streaming platform whatsoever, just YouTube. And we'll have our YouTube channel put in our bio on our Instagram page, and we'll also be sending out an email blast before the end of the year with all this information as well, links and all included. Additionally, we'll be producing a new show that we have called The Black Sheep Breakthrough Chronicles, where we cover personal stories about overcoming the chains of chronic conditions and the mental breakthroughs that help break those very chains. So if you're a fan of The Abstract, if you've listened to just one episode of The Abstract, or if you've listened to all of them, or if you're a supporter, maybe you haven't listened to a complete episode, because there is a lot to chew on, but either way, you're doing the work with us. That makes you a black sheep. Breaker of generational trauma, creator of cognitive bridges. And these stories are of fellow black sheep. If at any point you want your story heard, just email us at asktheabstract@gmail.com. Hey, maybe we'll reach out to you. Who knows? Maybe we are really interested in having you share your story. There'll be more details involved in that if we do reach out to you, or if you reach out to us. Let's start that conversation. But yes, this new show will exclusively live on our Patreon, along with all past episodes from both seasons 1 and 2. So that means no more Spotify, no more Apple Podcasts, no more Google Podcasts, or any of those other really streaming platforms. It'll just be on Patreon, our Patreon. And we truly do love the content we make, but in order for us to keep making it, we need your support, and your support makes this sustainable. Ideally, me, I'd do this full time. Shit, I'd do this all day, every day if I could, but right now the show isn't really generating money like that yet. So, share an episode with someone you love, spread the word about the show, join our Patreon, get them to join our Patreon if you think it'll really make a difference in their life or in yours. And that way you can get access to all of our content, both the exclusive and previously public, but now exclusive, content that we've made. So once again, everything from season 1, everything from season 2, all the past manuals that we've made, both old and new. Also, that includes all of the exclusive Patreon episodes that we've made that haven't been released to the public. You can get all that for just $5 a month. $5. If you buy anything in Subway, you could have supported the Patreon, technically. If you bought fast food ever, you could have slid that money on over to the Patreon too. So, you know, be intentional about who you support and consider us for it too. We really appreciate it. We do want to give a shout out to all past Patreon members: Jesse, Eric, Chelsea, Sema, Tina, Mel, Alejandra, Jin. Thank all of you for all the support you've done, provided, given. It's very nurturing, helps us keep going and moving forward. So appreciate and love all of you. Link to our Abstract Patreon will be included in the description of this episode, but also you can just go to patreon.com/theabstract. That should bring you up. If not, you could just search our podcast name. And the Patreon link will come up too. It's also on our website at theabstract.work. Also, last announcement, we will be having new merch on the way for next year. Well, Penny's really putting in that work, putting together some really awesome, dope articles of clothing. So be on the lookout. All right, let's get into it. So as I mentioned before, this episode is about criticism. And I gotta open this up with a few quotes to really set the table. So the first quote: the trouble with most of us is that we would rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism. This is by Norman Vincent Peale. I really love that one. And the next one is: criticism, like rain, should be gentle enough to nourish a man's soul without destroying his roots. And that was by Frank A. Clark. You know, you gotta be careful with how much water you're giving these plants. Now, why this episode, right? Past ones we've done things like use your words or handling and deconstructing racism. Shit, even the apocalypse. Why criticism? Well, criticism is really important. It's a part of development. It's a part of establishing and manifesting new ideas. Also, in relationships, which includes the one with yourself, can become stagnant if there's no evaluation or analysis going on. If there's no checkup on the foundation, there could be cracks coming up. Okay? You gotta acknowledge what you see and what you're aware of. And what the things you don't know, you don't know. So, criticism can be really valuable. On the other side is receiving criticism, right? Because it's a coin that gets flipped. There's always at least two people involved. And on this receiving side, being able to separate your ideas from your personal self is essential in making the most out of receiving criticism and hearing it. It is also more common to get criticism nowadays because of social media and YouTube and really just the existence of a comment section on the internet. So it seems almost unavoidable now. 6 years ago, maybe no one ever criticized you because you're intimidating or they just didn't have the balls or wherewithal to do so. But nowadays, you put anything out there, there's likely going to be at least one person or bot that makes you question that very thing that you put out there. And that's okay. It's best to figure out how to give it and get it in ways that motivate change for the better rather than destruction and sabotage. All right, so sliding into our concept section, the first concept that we have to address is criticism. What is criticism? Seems obvious, right? But even the most obvious things aren't always that clear. But criticism really is just feedback. Now, it being helpful or not depends on how it is delivered and received. So it'll make sense to break it up into two types, if you will. So the first type can be considered constructive criticism or constructive feedback. And this kind encourages growth regardless of it being negative or positive. The point is to inspire improvement. Now this, when I say it could be negative or positive, perhaps the feedback itself or the criticism itself is not necessarily tearing down something that you did, but highlighting things that you did well in the face of something that you did wrong. That could be seen as positive. Negative would be more leaning on that other side, where it's mostly about what you did wrong. However, at the end of that, if it's encouraging growth and inspiring the person to do better or to get better or to learn more, that's cool. That's chill. That's constructive. That's what you want. You want to build with each other, not destroy and burn down, which is the other kind of feedback or criticism, destructive or negative. And these really end up just being personal criticisms that tear down the other person. They're more harmful than helpful. They don't inspire improvement. They don't inspire or motivate the other person. Instead, they bring pain. They bring self-sabotage. They bring hesitation to move forward. And that's not really what you'd want when you're giving someone criticism or feedback. Or if you are receiving criticism or feedback. Damn, this bird is singing today. Don't mind it. All right, the next concept we have is personalization. And this is attaching blame or mistakes to who you are. In other words, thinking you performed poorly because you are stupid. Or that the risks that you have taken failed because you are a failure. The issue with this is that it ignores the bigger picture, the context of the situation. There are more variables at play that must be acknowledged. You can make mistakes, but this doesn't mean that you are a mistake. And now this will apply to either person in who is giving the feedback or if you're receiving the feedback. On the giving side, if you're telling someone that they are a failure, that they are stupid, that they are a mistake, this is very deconstructive. This is very destructive. Receiving it, if these are the thoughts that are at the forefront of your mind as you're hearing what the other person has to say, it's probably going to be difficult for you to want to improve. You may get stuck up on those negative things, on those negative thoughts, which in turn would lead to self-sabotage. All right, next up we got gaslighting. Oof. Gaslighting. Mm-mm. So toxic. But this is an act of manipulation where typically the abuser gets the victim to question their own judgments and perspectives to the point where the victim believes that they are the cause of their suffering and pain that they're experiencing. Now, this can happen in any relationship, truly. Romantic, friendships, coworkers, with your boss, with a stranger, with family, it doesn't really matter. When someone undermines your perspective to the point where you question your own experience, they are gaslighting you, regardless of if it's intentional or not, all right? Now, an example of this would be if you ever brought up an issue with someone, whether they were contributing to the issue or not. You're just simply talking to this person about an issue that you've gone through, right? And they start to ask you questions or make statements or accusations even that make it seem like you are the problem or that you brought this onto yourself. This is gaslighting. Synonymous to this is victim blaming. It's one and the same, really. And once again, the person who's doing the gaslighting does not have to actually be involved in the issue. It's simply a poor attempt at holding space with the other person. It's a dangerous thing. Be mindful if this starts happening. If you feel like you're being gaslit, don't ask them if they're gaslighting you, perhaps. Prod them to what are they getting at? What's the point of these questions and these statements? Because it feels as if you're pigeonholing me and not allowing my experience to exist simultaneously with your own experiences. And that's on the receiving side of that. If you are gaslighting someone and you're not aware of it, I don't know what to tell you, dog. That's toxic. Ideally, it's, hey, be more intentional about the words that you're using and talking to someone else about the things that they're going through. But it's hard in the moment to really know when you're being harmful, more harmful than helpful, unless you are in tune with what the other person is going through as you're speaking to them, which once again, it's very difficult. if you have a good, strong connection with that person, you will probably start to notice that something's off and you can ask them questions. But if not, hopefully the person who's hearing this information that you're telling them will stand up and say, hey, this doesn't feel right. And then you can kind of get to that point, that middle ground of, oh, snap, I'm not actually allowing your experience to be real, to exist. I'm simply holding you down, and that's not my intention. That's not okay. Apologize, move forward. All right, next up, we got abuse, but specifically verbal abuse, not physical. That's not criticism. That's trauma. But abuse is using your words, verbal abuse, excuse me, using your words as weapons with the intent to do harm, to the point where the person receiving them may break down, feel attacked, not feel supported whatsoever. And now this has a lot of different sides to this die, right? So there's name calling, and this is simply for the sake of being petty. So if you're calling someone a crybaby, a mama's boy, a punk, a cuck, I've been hearing that more often. It's name calling, obviously. This is verbal abuse. This is pretty mean. If you're joking, you're joking. Hopefully everyone's aware that you guys are joking and playing around. But if only one of you is joking, the other one isn't, this is technically abuse. Condescending remarks. So the whole point of these is simply to make the other person feel inferior. So an example of this would be speaking to an adult as if they were a child. I hear this a lot more in public with strangers. I find that very interesting. Criticism. The main focal point of this whole episode. But this is going to be looking more so at the destructive and negative kind of criticism. But its purpose is to expose things that are seen as wrong with you, things that are seen as your flaws, and then personalizing these things to then limit the other person to simply these flaws, these shortcomings, if you will. And then degradation. This will be more so for humiliation and shame, and these kind of come off more often than not as generalized statements. So saying something like, all black people are loud and obnoxious. Them fighting words. Or saying something like, women can't drive. People can't drive, last I checked. Not just women. I'm seeing both sides. Right, I've seen the whole spectrum not be able to drive. Let's just say that. Especially if you're in Houston. Lord of mercy. Y'all niggas need some. Anyway, last but not least is manipulation. You know what this is. Manipulation is getting someone to do something for you. And that one's probably the most obvious when it's happening. Because the other person wasn't intending on doing that thing, and now they are. All right, last but not least in the concepts, holding space. And this is particularly for when someone is giving feedback. Now, holding space is listening to someone with an open mind, no judgment, open heart, not letting your emotions take the stage, or center stage specifically, and open eyes. So feeling the emotions that the other person expresses in their face, body, words, and tone. Now, holding space gives room for someone to tell you their story. Let them be vulnerable with you. You are totally accepting of their experience. You're not reluctant or skeptical, but instead curious. You're hoping to understand what they've been through, not shooting it down. And ideally, both people, the one giving feedback and one receiving it, will hold space for one another. However, the person giving the feedback must be the initiator of the conversation, so the responsibility of holding space lies mostly on their plate. You're driving the conversation. You're setting this up so that someone else can hear you. But more often than not, people will hear you when they feel like you hear them. If you talk at them, if you don't listen to what they have to say, why should they give you that joy? Give you that opportunity of actually hearing you out and trying to get to the bottom of what's the What's the point of this conversation? Generally, someone will tune out if they don't feel like you're listening to them, or if you're just talking down on them or at them. So be intentional. Hold space for someone else. Be attuned to what they might be going through. Ask questions. But at the end of the day, be mindful, because you don't want to overwhelm the other person. All right, next section, awareness. First up, we got your body, your emotions. So you should tap into what your body is saying to you. The brain is an organ, just like your gut and your heart. And all of these things actually speak to one another. I know most often growing up, people would say, oh, the heart is the most important organ. I mean, that's cute and you can sell that, but really your brain is the most important organ because, yeah, if your heart stops, you die, right? But if your brain stops, you're considered a vegetable, which is in the same direction as death. You're not there anymore. Your body is simply running, but something else is allowing it to run. And yeah, there's technology now probably where you can get like things added to your heart or artificial things to be included to help your heart function and work. But if your brain stops working, your personality is gone. You aren't making choices anymore. You're not really experiencing imagination and creativity and all these wonderful things that this organ allows you to experience. Now, your body is the compilation of all of these things. It's not just your heart. It's not just your brain. It's not just your gut. It's everything, right? So listen to it. Your palms sweating, heart racing, shallow breath. Your body's probably screaming, I'm anxious. Holy shit, I'm anxious. Whatever your body's telling you, just stop. Listen to it. Hear it out. Then tune into your lungs and your diaphragm, aka your stomach lungs. No, I'm playing. But tune into parts of you that are going to be taking in air, such as your diaphragm and lungs, and take deep breaths. Truly, just breathe. Until you feel the rest of your body gradually stop screaming whatever emotion it originally was screaming. Now, yes, that emotion won't be completely gone, but that's fine. It's okay. As long as it's starting to be managed a little bit better than when it first showed up, right? And then use this. You don't want the emotion to be completely gone, because it's very likely that the other person is feeling similar emotions as well and sensations. So use it as a mirror. Reflect it. This might be what the other person's feeling too. And if you think that being able to get a cap on these heightened emotions initially, you think it'll take more than a few seconds, like 30 seconds, 20 seconds or something like that. If it'll take you a few minutes, if not more than that, take a moment, walk away. Say, give me a moment, give me a minute. I just need to step out. Allow that new space to help you get to a place where you can actually have a conversation and not just be emotional. Because emotion dumping is not helpful for the other person. Venting can feel good in that moment, but the actual work being done isn't there. It's not really happening. You're simply reliving experiences and then dragging the other person down into those experiences with you. All right, now shift your awareness from your body to your words, which is what? Your body's way of speaking to other people, right? Now consider this. Your words are vibes. They are literal vibrations. When you speak, your vocal cords vibrate to emit sound. And these sounds and vibrations are actually very powerful. They create the reality that you exist in, internally and externally, people. So, combining these vibes with your tone, word choice, They impact the interpretation of your intention. You could have made your intention clear from the jump, but if how you're saying the things that you're saying don't feel aligned with your intent, the other person isn't really going to hang on to your intent like that. You're going to take it with a grain of salt. If not, just toss that shit to the side and say, no, this doesn't feel right. Something's up. How you express your intention affects the other person's experience in listening to you. Consider villains in movies, right? Especially as of late. They tend to be charismatic, smooth, charming, witty. The way they speak paired with their mannerisms pull you in. They make you want to believe what they're selling. We got Thanos, Loki, Killmonger, Denzel in Training Day, Hannibal Lecter, and of course the Joker. All of these characters had ideas that were kind of believable because of how they said these ideas. That pulls you into their cause. It's their vibes. Their vibes were disarming and persuasive. For a good while, I was on Thanos' side. In Hawkeye, there's a mug that said, Thanos is right. I want that mug. Even though I don't think he was entirely right in terms of how he wanted what he wanted to get done, but it made total sense. Equilibrium, right? Balance. Everything, balance is super important. And there's a lot of people on this planet, not even going front. Like, imagine if there were billions, talking about billions of bears all over the world. Don't you think it'd be kind of strange? Like, it'd be kind of hard to get by as a person. I'm not about to just walk outside and there's a whole stoplight street lane full of bears. Fuck no. These niggas just coming into houses doing it. No, I'm good. No. Bees? I mean, ideally there'd be a lot of bees because ecosystem. But simply all that to say, before I go on a tangent, balance is important. Thanos, how he delivered his ideas, felt as though he was right, even if he wasn't. Killmonger, same thing. When he first came on screen, it's like, oh, okay, this guy seems to be pretty decent. And then they pulled off that whole heist, and you're like, oh shit, maybe not. And then you continue listening to what he's saying, though, and how he's saying it. It all felt like it made sense. That was okay. That was justified. But do the means justify the end? And vice versa. It's all about perspective. And if said person has the right vibes, ultimately, yeah, what you do will justify the goal at the end of the day. And this is how you can live with the decisions you've made. But in criticism and providing people feedback, consider your vibes. What's your energy? How are you saying the words that you're saying? What do you think it feels like? Because this is going to be impactful on how the other person hears and puts together and interprets what you're saying. Emotions come up. And long term, people tend to more so remember how they felt rather than exactly what was said. All right, last up, we got context. Consider the time and place. Consider your emotional capacity. Consider the other person's emotional capacity. You think this is the right time to have this conversation? If it isn't, are you certain you can talk to someone in a way that makes the best out of the cards that have been dealt? This is going to come back to holding space for someone. You're being intentional in that you want them to feel safe. You want them to make sure that you are heard. Because you're also considering their own personal experiences, their emotions, your emotions, what either of you have to do after this, what's your relationship, all these things that kind of are at play, but perhaps not being talked about immediately because they're not the focus, right? It's going to be the context. And of course, since perfection is a lie, there's no such thing as the perfect time to do something, especially when, you know, you have a life, you're busy. Or maybe you're simply not in the headspace to receive it, to hear this feedback. Well, in that case, let the person who's hoping to tell you this stuff, let them know, hey, I can't have this conversation right now for these reasons. Let's schedule this for another time, or, you know, just really standing up and setting a boundary as to what you're capable of in that moment. But remember, is this the time and place for this conversation? Why is this conversation happening? And how can I hold this conversation in a way that lets the other person feel safe, seen and heard, not attacked and deconstructed? So for the abstract snacks, we got the feedback sandwich. Now, we mentioned this before in a past episode. I believe this was Effective Communication Part 1 episode. And hey, we all make mistakes. No, it's not a mistake, but we're tweaking this feedback sandwich, which was where you say something positive, say something negative, then you end with something positive, right? With the hopes of person being able to receive your message and what you're hoping them to get out of what you said without being super defensive, right? Now, the issue that I found and then also saw more in research with this is that it doesn't always work. Once again, the intent is there, but the actual execution, See, doing it this way, where positive, negative, positive, can actually be confusing to the other person. Well, Penny, if you're listening, know that I've been intentional about trying this more often, and yes, we've had some conversations where the point wasn't made that well or didn't come across that clear, because instead of it being balanced, it seemed like nothing is wrong. So why is this even happening in the first place, right? But that's not the point. Instead, keep that balance. Like Thanos said, keep that balance. You want balance. Positive and negative. One and one. Start with something positive. This is going to help the other person be receptive and not defensive. Then refer to one specific thing that you want them to improve on. Whether it's responding to emails faster, asking more questions, cleaning up more often, etc. And this one thing that you want them to improve on should be the motivation behind even having this conversation in the first place, where you needed to provide them some feedback, do some constructive criticism, if you will, and lay it on them gently. Reference the issue or the setback that made you want to talk about this in the first place, followed up with how they can improve. So say something positive. You do a really wonderful job of providing me intel on XYZ. You're really good at your email responses. At the same time, or with that being said, or in addition to this, insert what it is they did wrong and a specific example of when they did this. Then cap it all off with how they can improve. That's your formula. Praise for something they did well. Then your connector can't be but, because that feels like when you say but after you've said something positive, it almost negates the positive thing. It hurts. It's kind of like being in middle school and someone comes up to you and says, hey, can I ask you something? Oof. Even though they're setting space for trying to talk about something that felt like the hammer is about to come down hard, right? It's not fun. So, instead of saying but, consider other ways to connect it. So, as I just mentioned, at the same time, da-da-da-da-da, or with that being said, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, or in addition to this. You know, these don't feel like one no longer exists. It allows both a positive thing and a negative thing to exist simultaneously. And then lastly, of course, state what they did wrong and that example, a specific one that was recent, and end with how they can improve. All right, the next snack is going to be open-mindedness. It should be obvious, right? If you're receiving feedback or critique, be open-minded. It's often easier to catch more things when you're on the outside looking in. So other people may notice things about you or how you do things that you had no idea about. And this is a chance to really learn something about how other people see you. It's okay to feel defensive. Your brain thinks it's under attack. It's a psychological threat that's directed at you. It's fine. It's normal. It's okay. Breathe. Listen to what they're saying. Ask questions if they aren't being specific enough or if you need more clarity. Have a conversation. But be curious, not defensive. It's really, really easy to feel defensive when you've done something wrong. No one wants to be in the fault. Everyone wants to be the victim. But if everyone's the victim, who's the perpetrator? Who's the person that wronged? Who's the person that brought about the issues, the stress, the toxicity, whatever it is? Someone's at fault, and it's okay. We all make mistakes. It's human. There's a thing called human error. Shit, even robots make mistakes, last I checked. So be curious. Wonder what it is that they're hoping that you get out of this conversation. Be curious about what you can take away from what they're saying. Be curious about why you feel this way about what they're saying. Because there can be deeper layers to that defensiveness when you've heard certain things about yourself. That could be a sign that you need to talk more about that very thing, or have space held for you about that very thing. It's an opportunity to grow, not an opportunity to attack and self-destruct. All right, and the last snack, compassion and acceptance, the combo two-piece. Sweet and sour, except it's really just sweet and sweet. Self-compassion and acceptance are essential in tough conversations, or really after tough conversations. They make room for forgiveness, for managing your emotions, for seeing where other people are coming from. If you find it difficult to be compassionate or accepting, it's likely that you may find it difficult to handle a stressful situation, or that it's easy to feel hostile towards yourself or others during stressful situations. Accept that there are things about yourself that other people may not like. That you will make mistakes. Be compassionate, not by dwelling, but by trying to move forward. Making room for forgiveness. Making room for patience. Thoughts about how can I grow from this? How can I be better? What can I take away from all this? These are the types of things that you should say to yourself. To be compassionate. Saying, hey, it's okay. I am not the mistake. I am not the flaw. I'm simply someone who made a mistake. Consider how you talk to a friend who had their heart broken or went through something devastating. The way you talk to them, the way you're being there for them, supporting them, that's compassion. Take that energy and give it to yourself. Maybe you have a friend who comes to mind when you think about someone who's really good at being there for you or being there for other people. Imagine them talking to you, helping you in those moments. These are the kind of thoughts that will dictate how you emotionally manage and navigate through the stress in a stressful situation. Now, the stressful situation could be that you're getting critique and feedback that's more negative than constructive. Being compassionate and being accepting will help you make the most out of that situation so that it doesn't become something that you walk away from feeling wounded. But instead, it'll be something that you walk away from feeling like you've gained knowledge. You've gained more power. It's a very, very life-changing thing once you can be more compassionate with yourself. Because there isn't a lot of that. Not everyone's going to be empathetic to your experiences. Not everyone knows what you're going through, but you do. You know you better than anyone else. So it only makes sense that you be patient with yourself, that you be kind, nurturing, loving, supportive of yourself, especially in those tough moments. Because at the end of the day, it's possible that no one else will be. So in conclusion, criticism is feedback. And there are two kinds of feedback, or there are two labels you could give feedback. Constructive and destructive, or negative. Gaslighting is manipulation and being very inconsiderate. So be mindful. When you don't agree with someone else's experience, rather than blame them for their issues. Because you's being toxic. Holding space can make difficult conversations not so difficult. It feels like there's room to breathe rather than it feels like there's no air while you're having those conversations. Your body speaks to you through emotions via physical sensations. So sweat, bubbly stomach, shaky hands. So try to listen to it when your body's talking to you. More often than not, it simply wants to be heard and acknowledged. And those feelings and sensations will die down a little bit. And remember to use that as a mirror for what the other person might be going through and feeling at the same time as you too. Your words are vibes. They will have an impact on the other person's experience whether you notice it or not. If Thanos and Killmonger and Loki and the Joker, if these were all dry, very... I'm just right now picturing Loki as like this boring, dry person. Who has no humor, no wit or anything. It wouldn't work. You can't be the god of mischief if no one believes you and they know you're up to no good. You have to be persuasive. But really mindful and intentional about your vibes. Because your words are vibrations. Context helps things make more sense. So be mindful of that. The bigger picture feels more in focus when you're being mindful of the context. The formula for effective, constructive feedback. Start with your positive observation. Have your in-betweener. At the same time, or in addition to this, or with that being said, state the issue. State the issue's bigger impact, specifically, or things that are happening in lieu of said issue. And of course, end with how they can improve. If you're not doing this, it's very likely that the other person is not receiving your critique and feedback as well as they could be. Or maybe someone talks to you in this way, where they offer a lot of feedback and critiques, and you feel as if it's not really hitting the way you'd like it to. Hey, tell them, I know a way that'll help you, that'll help us grow together in offering feedback to each other. Insert formula. All right, anticipating a tough conversation. So you're the person probably having to give that feedback. Be open-minded before going into it and actually starting it. You're receiving, you think you're about to get told off or have your ass chewed out by a superior or someone else. Once again, be open-minded. You really never know what you might be able to take away from what's going on in that conversation. There's layers to it, right? There's levels to this shit. And lastly, compassion and acceptance. These are the essentials for moving forward in healing in life, just in general. Compassion and acceptance starts internally and grows externally. So the more often you tap into them, more often you'll be able to move forward despite the situation. All right. So typically at the end of the episode, we'll do an ask the abstract, right? But for this episode, the abstract has questions for you to ask yourself and others. The intention is to help you master communication, all the while improving your relationships. And yes, this includes the relationship you have with yourself, as always. So, my first question to you is, how do you currently take or receive criticism? Specifically, the destructive type. The type that doesn't inspire you or motivate you to grow. But instead it feels heavier. Makes you feel off afterwards, or upset, or defensive. How do you currently take it? What's your whole emotional experience, if you will? What are the thoughts that you have during and after? What do you physically do afterwards when you get this kind of criticism, critique? How does your perspective change from the person who gave you this criticism? All right, my next question is, who in your life gives you the best feedback? Who in your life gives you the best feedback? What is it that you like about it so much? And what is something even they could improve on in regards to giving feedback? Because everyone truly can get better at everything. Perfection is a lie. There's always room for improvement and being better. All right, next one is, how do others take your feedback and criticisms? Have any of your friendships or relationships been ruined by poor feedback? If so, what happened? And how could this have been done better? How could you have spoken to the other person better? How could you have held space for them better? What do you think would have actually improved that interaction? But on your end, not on theirs. It's real easy to come up with a long list of what the other person could have done, yes. But we're trying to expand your awareness right now. Help you grow. What could you have done better? Because once again, perfection is a lie. Alright, next one is, how do you talk to yourself after you've made a mistake? How do you talk to yourself after you excel and are successful at something? If you're being compassionate and accepting, ideally those two things won't be too different. If you're not being that compassionate, if you're not being that accepting of yourself, it's very likely you'll see a vast difference between either of those things. You could be really mean. That inner critic can get very loud. But where's your fan? Where's your number one fan? Your longtime supporter? How loud are they? What are they saying? And then the last question I got for you. What is the most helpful feedback you have ever received? What was helpful about it? How was it delivered to you? How did you grow after hearing it? All right, you guys. From O'Penny and I, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa, Hanukkah. Happy New Year's. Happy Christmas. Did we say happy Christmas? No. But enjoy the time you have with loved ones, with yourself. This can be a tough time for some. Seasonal depression is real. But also, a lot is still happening in the world. So be there for you. Let you have a better year internally. And maybe that'll transpire out externally as well. Give love to those in your corner. Give love to yourself. Celebrate yourself. You've made it through a whole new 360 plus days. You did that shit. Not everyone did. And keep them in your hearts, in your thoughts. Be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for what you can give. And lastly, know that we, Mom and O'Penny, are here for you. We are fellow guides on your healing journey, but you are the ultimate guide at the end of the day. We simply have some roadmaps and brochures and pamphlets to help you get through certain things. But ultimately, you have the compass. You have the car. You're the one doing the driving. So remember, all our content will exist on our Patreon moving forward. This episode will be available to the public for the rest of this month, for all of January, however, starting February. You gotta go to our Patreon to access all our content. Our guided meditations will exist on our YouTube channel. If you type in the abstract, you'll probably find it. But we will include links to all of these things in our bio, on our Instagram page, on an email blast that we will be sending out. We love all of you. We really do. Nah, I'm just playing, but we really do care about you guys. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us. It truly means a lot. We hope to keep healing and dealing with y'all this upcoming year. How that looks will be up to us, which includes you. And once again, feel free to reach out, ask us any questions you have, any concerns you have about healing or dealing. And no, not dealing drugs, but dealing with life, guys, come on. Or if you just need some more resources, we have plenty in our bag. So don't be shy. We don't bite unless you want us to. This is Mom. This has been another episode of The Abstract. Stay curious, and we have spoken.